Jack Welch and the Four E's of Leadership. How to put GE's leadership formula to work in your organization. Author, Jeffrey A. Krames. The man who fired strategic planners. In his 20-plus years at General Electric, Welch transformed a mature manufacturing company into an outstanding products and services juggernaut. He increased the value of the company more than 30 times over. He achieved all of this by defying some of GE's most venerated traditions, by making the tough calls, and by transforming GE's insular, hide-bound culture. But most of all, Welch selected and developed leaders. He once said famously that the smartest people in the world hire the smartest people in the world. But the truth is that he looked for far more than smarts. The discipline of the four E's helped him find and develop leaders who would fit into GE's high-octane, performance-based culture. Those who have scored high in all four E categories were the ones who ultimately helped him fulfill his goal of building the world's most competitive organization. The linear E's. No one, including Jack Welch, argues that the 4E model is the be-all and end-all of leadership. A manager who is perceived as lacking in integrity, for example, may possess all the energy in the world. But he or she most likely won't have respect of his or her colleagues or the moral compass with which to lead. There are also qualities that follow the 4E's. During the last presidential primary season, Welch used the 4E model to evaluate the Democratic presidential contenders. In rating the candidates, Welch included an additional component in his leadership formula, passion. Welch feels strongly that any leadership model must include passion. The best leaders are those who are filled with a fire-in-the-belly enthusiasm for what they do. Somewhere in between integrity and passion, therefore, are the 4E's. They overlap and interact, of course, and therefore they can't be lined up in a rigid sequence. Nevertheless, there is a certain logical progression to them. The first E, energy. Energy equals passion and not charisma. Leaders must have other strengths, such as intelligence and decision-making ability, but it is energy that converts good ideas into measurable performance. Strictly defined, energy means a source of power, whether electrical, mechanical, or otherwise. But for our purposes, there is more to energy than its physical properties. In addition to physical energy, there is also mental energy, which might be called an emotional energy, the kind of energy that a leader projects to help build the spirit or morale of an organization. It is an energy that reaches across people and binds together individual contributions into a purposeful whole. The second E, energizers. The best energizers have an unvarnished, unqualified brand of enthusiasm. They can get their colleagues charged up about just anything. People respond to them, and that response makes them particularly effective. They bring out the best in people, inject them with confidence, and give them the credit when things go right. They are the organization's confidence builders. That's why Welch decreed that the ability to energize is the ingredient that counts. Welch also said, "You have no right to be a leader if you don't have it in your soul to build others." The 4E leader spreads confidence like gardeners spread fertilizer. That's why, according to Welch, the most important thing a leader does is to instill confidence in the organization. Energize with a few clear objectives. Welch said that leadership is the ability to articulate a vision and the ability to get others to act on that vision. What does that mean in the context of energizing? It means refraining from micromanaging and instead giving your people a few clear, simple goals. The best leaders manage less. Bureaucrats whack people with the twin sticks of systems and procedures. Leaders, by contrast, inspire. In his early years with GE, Welch decided that he saw far too many of the former and not enough of the latter. According to him, big corporations are filled with people in bureaucracy who want to cover things, cover the bases, say they did everything a little bit. Why instruct managers to focus on only a few clear goals? The reason touches on another key Welch imperative, simplicity. Simplicity cuts right to the heart of the matter. He admired people who were confident enough to use simple words and give simple presentations. Organizational strategies should also be simple. It is so important to articulate the firm's strategy simply and succinctly. New ideas energize everyone. Few things got Welch more energized than new ideas. Extrapolating from his own experience, he was convinced that new ideas were the lifeblood of the organization. The hero is the one with the idea, he once declared. Ideas, learning and training, all contribute to the collective intellect of the organization. Energizers aren't necessarily the source of ideas. more likely they encourage others to voice their ideas. They know that few things get people more excited than having one of their ideas lead to an important win for the organization. They feel increasingly isolated and not in control of their own destinies. When that happens, most people get into reactive mode, feeling more like victims than contributors. The third E, edge. Welsh loved to talk sports and business. He could almost always be counted upon to come up with a sports analogy to fit a specific business situation. Those analogies are very much in evidence when he speaks of the third E, edge. To Welsh, business is about winning, winning in the marketplace, winning customers, winning new business, winning for shareholders. Welsh's number one, number two edict certainly illustrates his competitive nature. When he signed a $4 million contract to write his second book, a prescriptive how-to management book, he entitled it Winning. But Welsh's approach to winning was far from simplistic or one-dimensional. He knew that the path to winning is a winding one. He understood that managing less was managing more, that the key success was producing more with less. And he knew that he had to manage many businesses while imposing a single vision, that of a learning, boundaryless organization. Embracing complexity and paradox while still maintaining clarity of vision and edge is a difficult balancing act. Welsh achieved that better than most. Maintaining edge in the face of paradox. Many of Welsh's early moves confirmed what he had suspected from the beginning, that reinventing a company required many actions that tugged in contradictory directions. Most immediately, he had to tear down in order to build. He had to find a way of managing long-term while eating short-term. Welsh did a great job of balancing the two. One way he did so was to cut costs ruthlessly. In his first 5 years at GE, Welsh cut one out of every four people on the GE payroll. But there were countervailing currents as well. At the same time that Welsh was cutting deeply into the payroll, he was spending millions on what he called non-productive things. He built a gym, a guest house, and a conference center. Understandably, people inside and outside the company objected to these priorities. How could Welsh justify spending $75 million on headquarters while cutting so many jobs? Welsh heard and understood these protests, but he was undeterred. This was simply a paradox of business. You have to shrink in order to grow. You have to give things up in order to gain things. By eliminating jobs and closing unproductive factories, he was creating the means to reinvigorate the places which would spark the company's transformation. If GE could not attract, train, and retain A players, the company would fall farther behind in the competitive marketplace. It took some time for many to see the logic of Welsh's actions, but eventually they came around. Again, the results were irrefutable. By the late 1980s, all the key metrics of productivity were up significantly: profit margins, inventory turns, and so on. By managing contradictory tugs within the organization while still defending his vision, Welsh demonstrated that he was a manager with edge, someone who didn't shy away from the tough decisions. The fourth E, executes. For years, there were only three E's at GE. As late as 1998, Welsh still wrote the three E's, but Welsh began to get the sense that something was missing from his formula. Many managers had energy, energize, and edge in abundance, but they were still coming up short in numbers. That's when the fourth E was added, and the concept of the 4E leader fully formed. Jack Welsh succeeded because he left so little to chance. He was a natural. Things came easily to him that confounded many other managers. But he also believed that most leaders are made, not born. He wanted to know what the best were made of. Welsh and his HR team met with 20 of GE's most promising vice presidents to discuss the topic of leadership. The results gleaned at that meeting ultimately would be shared with thousands of GE managers around the globe. One of the leadership keys, concluded the group, was to master the job you have before focusing on future promotions. It's great to think about the future, but it's a whole lot better to think about the future when you're hitting the ball out of the park in your current job. Do the job you are on better than anyone has ever done it. All of the group's conclusions were put into a presentation called Advice from Successful Executives. The group determined that the leaders who made the greatest contributions were those who excelled in these five areas. 1. Performance. 2. Ownership. 3. Challenge and visibility. 4. Mentors, role models. 5. Global experience, cultural breadth. GE Authentic Model of Leadership. The E's were an abbreviated version of Welch's leadership ideal. The authentic leadership model incorporated the four E's, but also described Welch's ideal leader in greater depth than any other previous model or formula. This detailed model consisted of 12 traits that best describe the Welch leader, paraphrased as follows. Strong leaders lead with character, integrity. Strong leaders have business competence, acumen. Strong leaders think global. Strong leaders are customer-centric. Strong leaders welcome change and disdain bureaucracy. Good leaders are strong communicators, and they are empathetic. Authentic leaders build effective teams. Best leaders focus on achieving the objectives of the organization. Best leaders have a great energy and spark others to perform. Strong leaders have infectious enthusiasm. Great leaders achieve and deliver. Best leaders love what they do.